But take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Did I tell you? All the month of February, this year, God's burdened my heart with this theme, ready. The Lord said, be also ready. And I want us to be ready. I believe Jesus is coming again. Amen. I believe He's coming. And so all the month of January, we emphasize the return of the Lord. That'll be the last time I say something about it, but we will. But all of February now, February is Valentine, Love Month, Heart Month. And so I want us to be ready. I want our hearts to be ready to reach the world for Christ. And it's a matter of the heart. And what you see in the life of the leadership here, from every Sunday school teacher, every Awana leader, all the care ministry, all of the staff here, Miss Trudy, the reason they do what they do is because of what their hearts are. You see, it's a matter of the heart, but it's the heart that matters. It's the condition of your heart. God looks on the heart. God sees your heart. He knows if you're saved or not. He knows if you've given Him your life. You know if you've accepted Him as your Savior. He looks on the heart. Not what you do outwardly, not any good works, but all of our righteousness is filthy rags, but it's the heart. And when you get saved, God affects your heart. You have a heart condition. And it's God looks on the heart. It's a matter of your heart. And if our hearts are right, if we have a heart ready for ministry, ready for missions, it is a heart full of love for Christ and for people. And what you see in the staff and all those around here, there's no obligation. I mean, so far as, you know, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, there's no fear of if they don't do this, that, and the other. I wouldn't have anybody trying to serve the Lord with me like that. I want people that have a heart for people and have a heart for God. And it's a matter of the heart, and it's a heart that matters. I want you to look with me and pray for my memory and my glasses. I don't know where they are, and they don't know where I am. And Dawn on me over there a while ago that I had forgot them yet again. Matthew chapter number 9, verse 36, and if I stumble over it, you're used to me doing that anyway, so you won't know I don't even have glasses. But look at verse number 36. I won't read the whole passage, but Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I've preached from this passage before, but I want you to notice that little phrase, He was moved with compassion. Turn over to chapter 14 and verse 14. And hear another statement very much like that one, but I want to read it to you in your hearing today. Chapter 14, and then in verse number 14, and listen to what He says in this passage of Scripture. In chapter 14, look at verse number 14. And Jesus went forth, and He saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Now, I'm going to give you two other passages. For the sake of time, I'm not going to turn to them. Write down Mark chapter 1, verse 41, and Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. In all four of these verses, there's this statement, He was moved with compassion. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak to hearts. Lord, thank You for the wonderful singing of the congregation, Ms. Brenda playing so beautifully this morning. Thank You, our Father, that we've been able to lift our hearts to You this morning in worship and praise in song. Thank You for the singing of the choir, Brother Brian this morning, God, for touching him, gifting him, and blessing us through the choir, and Brother Brad. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help us. Our Father, just a word from You would change our lives forever. And God, I pray You'd speak a word to the heart of Your people here in the building and in the internet audience. We pray, our Father God, the Holy Ghost would breathe. I pray, God, that You touch hearts and lives. And God, I pray as we focus this month on reaching out with hearts to a lost, dying world, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, would work in our hearts, make our hearts what they ought to be. God, I thank you and I bow before you and I thank you, God, that I know me better than most anybody else knows me. And God, I know that I need you today. I pray for your anointing power. God, speak and we'll thank you and praise you. God, have your way and all you do, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think with me just a few moments and we're going to go back to the back. It's a matter of the heart. Our theme this month is hearts ready to reach the world for Christ. How do you react to people? How do you feel about people? How do you respond to people? I want to hear a friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, here in this passage of Scripture, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. What is it that moves you? What is it? Can I motivate you to do something for God? Can I demand that you do something for God? Can I shame you into doing something for God? If I do, it won't be worth 5 cents. Not a bit. I've seen it over the years. I've seen people get stirred up emotionally. It doesn't last. I've seen people get on a guilt trip and a preacher would preach and they'd come and they'd say, I hadn't been doing this, I hadn't been doing that, I hadn't been doing the other. And they're very repentant. I think probably they're genuine, but it doesn't last. Doesn't last. I've heard people who have been made to feel ashamed because they've not done what they ought to do and they feel some sense of obligation, of failure. And so they say, I'm going to do better, but that never lasts. Because you see, ministry is a matter of the heart, and it is the heart that matters. Jesus was moved. He saw their need, but seeing need will not move you over any length of time. You can get over it quickly. You can cry at a sad commercial of dogs or children or refugees or whatever, and the next commercial will make you think about McDonald's and you'll want a Big Mac. You lose that burden quick. But it's the heart. In your heart, what is it that moves you? Jesus was not moved just because of what he saw. It was his compassion that moved him. And if your heart is right, and if you have a right relationship with God, that'll be the driving force of your life. Paul stated it well in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. Now, I love the way the Holy Ghost of God put that. Did you notice he did not say it is my love for Christ that constrains us? It's the love of Christ. And that has to do with intimacy with the Lord. You can have an appreciation for the Lord, and you can love him for what he's done for you. But if you have that relationship of him, you have the love of Christ in you. It is the love of Christ that constrains me. You understand what I'm saying? It's not my appreciation of what he's done, but it's my closeness to him that motivates me. It's when I've got closer to him, more like him, and my heart is set like his heart. It's demonstrated in the greatest verse probably in the New Testament all of us know well. God the Father, the Bible said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when you have that love of Christ inside of you, the love of Christ, that is that you are so intimate with him that he's loving through you. You love him because he first loved us, but he's loving through us. It is the love of Christ that's demonstrated to people. You love them like Jesus loves them. You treat them like Jesus would treat them. You have a burden for them like Jesus would have a burden. I don't have time to share with you everything that's in my heart, but I want to ask you a question. How's your heart this morning? How's your heart relationship with the Lord? There'll be no question about service if your heart's right. It's a matter of the heart, and it is the heart that matters. If your heart is right, service will be automatic. If your heart is right, giving will be a part of your life. The Bible said, God giveth to all men liberally. Why? Because he's God. If you have the heart of God inside of you, you'll learn that everything you have belongs to God and you'll give not out of any kind of obligation, but out of a heart of love. You have the love of Christ inside of you. I just point out to you two or three things that if our heart is right, our salvation was the result of God's move by compassion, God's heart. He loved you and He gave His Son for you. That's why you got saved. That's why Jesus came, because God loved us. He gave His Son out of love for us. And those astounding verses that I share with you from time to time, where the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17 prayed that high priestly prayer, and He said, "Father, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me." Now you look around you and look at your own self. Can you even fathom the fact that God the Father loves you as much as He loves His own Son? That's God's love. That is the love of God. And the love of God in us, the love of Christ in us, we love people equally wherever we are. I'd say this to you, it's a matter of the heart, and the heart's what really matters. If our heart is right, everything else will work. Our heart determines our response. We do what we do because of our heart. We witness because of our heart. We pray because of our heart. We give because of our heart. If our hearts are right with Him, it determines our response. Second, the condition of our heart determines our perseverance. If your heart is right, it does not quit. There are times when I'm more on fire than I am other times, and you too. But you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13? Love never faileth. Your perseverance, that is your keeping on, keeping on. Your faithfulness to the house of God. Your faithfulness to the things of God. It's a matter of the heart, and it's the heart that matters. If your heart is right, people say, and they have all these conferences, want to know why people don't go to church, why they're not faithful to the church, why they don't give, why they don't serve God. It's simple. It's the heart that matters. It's a matter of the heart, and it's the heart that matters. If people's hearts were right, you wouldn't have to worry about it. We'd have this building filled every service. If people loved Him with all their heart, mind, and soul, if our hearts were right, it determines our perseverance. It determines our faithfulness to the things of God. If our hearts are right, my dear friend, it determines your response. If your heart, whatever your heart tells what your perseverance, your long suffering is going to be. And then our preaching, not just here, but in everyday life, is determined by your heart. You know why? Because the Bible said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I can do seminars on soul winning. There are certain techniques and things that we need to do. And some of those I don't do as many as those I ought to. But I got an idea that if our hearts are right, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When our hearts get right, witnessing is not hard. It's easy. When you have your heart right, you have a compassion for people. And what you share because of the love of Christ that's in you. It will determine your preaching and what you preach and how you preach. That is in your daily life, as well as your teaching and other type of ministry. Your heart is right. But can I say this to you? It's a matter of the heart, and it's the heart that matters. The Lord Jesus Christ does not measure your success by numbers. Brother Gary Gaith and I were talking about that last night. I do have a lot of preachers to call me, young and old. And they all get discouraged, young and old. I would love to see people walk this aisle every Sunday being saved. And you see these houses going up everywhere, and I see them, and I think, how many in there will we be able to reach for Christ? How many will get saved? How many will come to our church? How many will go to another church? But can I tell you that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, He's not going to evaluate us by numbers. Years ago, my good friend who's in heaven now, Brother Raymond Williams, God really got dealing in his heart. He led a choir at Caney Creek Baptist Church. And I preached a lot of revivals there like I do now. Brother Raymond was a member of another church, but Brother Raymond would go with me. I'd get him to go lead the singing and get him to sing during revivals with me. And I came home one night and I told Regina, I said, God's calling Brother Raymond to preach. And she said, "How do you know?" I said, "I just know. I know it. I can hear what he's saying. I can tell about his heart. God's doing something in his heart." Well, it wasn't long before that, Paul Raymond surrendered to preaching and started preaching around. Well, a little church over in Crestview, Florida, it wasn't many, about 15 of them. They wanted me to come over there and preach for them, and I went over there and preached for them. And I was pastoring a pretty good-sized church out in the country. And they said, "Brother Billy, we believe God would have you to come be our pastor." I said, "Well, let me pray," and I prayed. Well, what was going on is Brother Raymond had been going over there filling in for him. And so I met with him on the next Monday night, and I said, "Guys, I'd be honored to come if God wanted me to come, but God didn't want me to come. You ought to have your pastor." And they said, "Brother Raymond?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "God's calling to preach." They said, "Well, he's a career man, he's military, but now he's working civil service down at Eglin Air Force Base. He's got it made financially and every other way." I said, "I don't care." I said, God put him in my heart. He should be your pastor." They called Raymond about, I think Raymond said the night they voted, there was two men there and about six or eight women. I went over when he had a dedication of his new building after a few years that would seat 1,500. He had Dr. Adrian Rogers come preach for him. The building was overflowed. We were going sometime later. Regina said to me, she said, "You know what? If you'd stay in one place long enough, you could have a church that big." And she meant well. Made me feel bad, though. Sometime later, I was praying that day or the next day or two. And I said, "Lord, have I moved too quickly? Have I moved too much? Have I not stayed long enough? Lord, I thank the Lord." I said, "I think what Regina said is so. If I'd stayed, we'd have a bigger church." You know what he said to me? He just said little things that makes it different. He said, "You've got a great big church. They're just not all in the same place." Last night I was sitting there, and most of you know how I preach revivals before I ever pastored. And I love to travel. My daughter thinks I'm a gypsy. I would love nothing better if God had allowed me just to go preach revivals and do evangelism and travel all over this great country and preach a lot of different places. And God opens a lot of doors for me. But I was sitting there last night and listening to different ones talk and testify and the singing. And the Lord spoke to me about being places. And he said, "Do you know that your desire to be in different places and preach, so right now sitting in this building, it's very likely that you're preaching somewhere right now in every state of the Union and of several foreign countries through the Highway Shepherd." I was in one place, but somebody in every state in several foreign countries somewhere listening to a Highway Shepherd CD. That blessed me. The singing blessed me. But what I'm saying to you is this. When I stand before the Lord and you stand before the Lord, God will not measure me by anybody else. Your life and your ministry was special to Him. Your uniqueness. He loved you and He died for you. And what He's got you doing, if it's a housewife, if you're a public school teacher, if you're an accountant, if you're in the military, if you're a farmer, whatever. We'll all have to stand before the judgment of Christ. But the criteria is the quality of what we've done and not the quantity. And that's based on one thing, our heart. If we loved Him and served Him with all of our heart, what was done was wonderful. God has a plan for your life, has a plan for my life. And it's my prayer that God will move on my heart and your heart, and He'll give us a heart ready to reach the world for Christ. And I pray during this month of February, it's going to be special to look at people and love them like they are and share Christ who loves them like they are and died for them before they was ever born, that they might know Him and be saved. God knows our hearts. Does He know your heart? Absolutely. Will you bow in prayer right now? And I tried to share something with you that was on my heart quickly. Will you get this in your heart this morning? My service and your service is a matter of the heart, and it is your heart that matters. Is your heart right with Him? Have you surrendered everything to Him and love Him to where whatever He wants you to do, it'll be a matter of love. You say, Brother Billy, folks sacrifice a lot to serve Christ. I'll be honest with you, I have never really ever felt that way. Boy, listen, God has been good to me. God has been so good to me. I've disobeyed Him. I failed Him. But I can testify to you that in 50 years of preaching, 22 years pastoring this church and other churches for 50 years, that He's never quit loving me. And the things that have been done that had any eternal value at all were done by the love of Christ in me. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that He let any boy and any girl and any man and any woman serve Him. He calls us to love Him and give our heart and life to Him and let Him love through us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we are able to ask or think. Sadly, sometimes our hearts become cold. We can become backslidden in heart. Sometime, like He said of one group of people, they draw near to me with their tongue, but their heart is far from me. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know He does. And I believe this morning, even in this short time and the testimonies and the music and the brief word of God, that He's fingered around your heart. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? You sing because you love Him. You serve because you love Him. You give because you love Him. It's a matter of your heart. And it is really the heart that matters. We need to have, like those early disciples, our hearts burned within us as He opened us the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, You know every heart in this room. You know what they need. You know every need. God, I pray those who have a heavy heart, those who have a broken heart, You're the great healer. God, You're the great comforter. And I pray, God, You'd speak comfort and peace. Those, our Father, whose hearts are cold, I pray, God, that the fire of the Holy Ghost would warm their heart and, God, set them aright and on fire to love You and serve You. Our Father, please don't let our hearts get bitter. Help us, Lord God, not to allow any root of bitterness to be in our heart. Purge us of all of that. I pray, God, we'd have a forgiving heart, a loving heart. God, give us a right kind of heart to love You and serve You. And our Father, all that we do and all that we, Lord, You'd ask us to do is a matter of our heart. There's no failures for those who do what they do because Christ loved them and loves through them. God, we don't have to measure success or failure like other people do. We love like Jesus loved because He loves through us. We serve like Jesus because He serves through us. God, I pray You'd help us. Thank You for these friends who gathered and all our friends in the radio audience. Now, friends, while we are praying this morning, Brad's going to come. I don't know if God lead him to sing a verse of a song or whatever God leads him to do. But I want to ask you a question while you're still seated. He loved you and He died for you. Have you ever allowed Him to shed His love abroad in your heart? Have you ever asked Jesus to come in your heart and be saved? And the promise is the Holy Spirit of God to come in crying, Abba, Father, and then He'll shed abroad in your heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here and say, Brother Bill, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. And preacher, will you pray for me? Would you raise your hand across the building this morning? Somebody say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, and I want you to pray for me. Anybody like that in the building, anywhere? In the radio audience, the internet audience, if you're listening this morning, or watching us on the internet, I want to tell you He loves you. He died for you. And right now, if you'd ask Him, He'd call on you. He's no respecter of persons, but if you'd call on Him, He'd save you. And those of you who are in the building, you say, Brother Billy, there's been a time in my life when I know that my heart was more on fire. I was more in tune to Him than I am now. I need a touch. I need God to move in my heart. I want to love Him with all my heart, mind, and soul. I want the love of Christ to be manifest in and through me. And preacher, will you pray that I'd yield to Him and allow Him to do that, would you raise your hands this morning? There's several of us got our hands raised. You pray for me, will you? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the love beyond explanation. I want to thank You for love unspeakable and full of glory. I cannot with a human tongue describe for our friends here this morning how much You love them or me. But God, I'm so thankful You do. And God, I pray, God, that You'd help me. I pray You'd tune my heart to sing Your grace. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would fill me to overflowing. And God, I pray that You'd move in my heart. And God, speak through me, love through me, and care through me. And God, in these days, our Father, when there's such wickedness in our land, our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, there'd be a demonstration of the presence and power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ on this church and on these believers, that the world cannot deny the fact that there's something different. And they'll know, because of our love one for another and for You, that we are His disciples. Now, God, I pray for people this morning. Lord, whatever their need is, I pray You'd meet it. Now, while we are praying, dear friends, I invite you to come. We'll not have a long invitation, but if you feel led to come this morning, I want to invite you to come. You have a need, come lay it before the Lord. If you're a Christian, if you're not saved, nobody raised their hand, they wouldn't say, but if you're not saved, I'd love to pray with you. Some others would pray with you to help you if you have questions about being saved. But you come right now, you'll not be the first. There are already some here. Come on right now. Let's ask God to give us a heart of love. These highways and hedges are full of people that need Christ. They need somebody to love them, somebody to care. And God will make a difference in their life if we care of the message with love. And I pray, God, help us to love. Heavenly Father, once again, help people now to do what they ought to do, and they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. As Brad sings, You come right now. Obey Christ, will you? God bless you, friends around the altar. We love you and praying for you.